afternoon. Today is Monday, November the 25th, 332nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, proud papa.
Yes, indeed.
And Eureka citizen Rob Arkley.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I am vertical.
Well, so am I, and I'm excited for Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for.
You going to burn the turkey yourself?
Yes, I will.
Oh, good. You're not a deep fryer guy.
No. I did it before it was popular. Now.
Oh, now you're a trendsetter. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to realize we're on the cutting edge here.
Yeah, and smoked them before it was popular. And
okay.
Now we just let Cher do her magic, and it's delicious. Oh.
We got all kinds of stuff to catch up on. Obviously, there's been a couple things going on at the national level in the last few days that might be commented on, and other things as well when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. But before we do, our quote for this day.
If you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years, there'd be a shortage of sand, by Milton Friedman. Isn't that true? look at the price of oil. They have more oil than Saudi Arabia, and they can't do it. They just can't do it.
There was an interesting, I heard Osgood coming in this morning, and I guess Bob Schieffer yesterday on Face the Nation had a couple of rules if he was king kind of thing. And he had a couple of interesting ones. One, Congress and the Senate should only be paid by the hour that they're in doing legislative work.
Good.
Period. That's like, okay.
Yeah.
And number two, families had to move with them. So they became, you know, the entire family was there and all the electeds got to know each other as people, instead of his adversaries or you know, comrades in arms, and not really know who these people are.
Was there a third?
He had five or six. My memory's a little
were
shot.
Were term limits in there, hopefully?
No. This was compensation and actions for them elected.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I hadn't considered. Oh, and the other thought, willing to pay overtime if they worked on Saturdays, you know, a six-day work week. Instead of a four-day work week.
You see, that turns it into public service. It would be nice.
Yeah.
And then each one only gets paid as they come in on the floor. In other words, they can't just...
chambers or in your subcommittee.
So not meetings. All congressmen and senators would be paid the same amount.
Yeah, if you weren't there.
You don't get paid.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought... And then I started thinking, well, how are they paid?
Well,
yeah. Yeah, no kidding. What was your reaction to Senator Reid? And I know what they were calling it, and I just kind of have a tough time using that.
The nuclear option?
Yeah, it's like, to me, okay, that implies something entirely different. But the concept of fundamentally changing the filibuster process.
Well, I thought, I've been involved, I was heavily involved with the Republicans when they were considering doing it in 2005, because judgeships were not being filled.
Yeah, the appointments were being held up.
Right. And so it's a game that's not unique to this period in time.
Well, and both parties have used it over the decades.
They have. Yeah. I think throwing away all that precedent is troubling. In fact, it's not troubling. It's wrong. Secondly, the Republicans ought not go tit for tat. I'd like to find a process by which to make this embedded so that there is a supermajority requirement in the Senate. Thirdly, and I think this should be not lost on people, is this was critical to Obama because the DC Court of Appeals reviews regulations by the EPA, presidential authority questions, et cetera, all of which clearly, if you get an objective court, not a stacked court, Obama would lose some of these positions. So in order to further his agenda and his way of doing things in what I would consider almost, an, not almost, a clearly imperial way, that he needed a court stacked that way, and that's why he did it.
It was intriguing for me that there were comments made, comma, except the Supreme Court, with the appointment process.
They don't mean it. They don't mean it.
Yeah, and I was saying slippery slope is where I was.
Slippery slope is the only place you find it. It's going to be a slippery slope. When they don't get the legislation they want, they're going to do this, extend it to legislation. They're going to do what it takes. And you see, that's
so the, why didn't this happen before?
Because
in the 80s, in the 70s,
because senators fundamentally believed and understood that sooner or later the shoe's going to be on the other foot, and that these 230, 40 years of precedent matter. And Obama doesn't read, is absolutely mentally a midget, and so he was pretty easy to steal to that effect. I found it interesting. Mary Landrieu from Louisiana is going to, is she going to rue that vote?
Yeah, she kind of disappeared. And it was curious to me.
Don't worry about old Mary. She's going to be front and center soon.
But that the national media picked up. Where did she go?
They did.
And no. I thought, okay, now one, just kind of for the casual, why any one individual?
No, she voted for it.
Right.
She voted for
it. But then why was she singled out?
Because we're singling her out. We're putting her – Louisiana was a state that Obama lost by 20 points. There's no way Mary Landrieu should win that seat. And so
– so why did she go with it then?
Because she just hoped she could. She was pressured. And we're putting –
oh, she just succumbed to
– and she bought off one Republican. And I told the Republican, who's a big shipbuilder, she gave a contract for Louisiana. And so she thought – and, you know, I quickly let it be known that if you think that's going to work, you got another thing coming. And so we're going to make her – pay up for that vote, and Begich is going to have to pay up for his vote as well from Alaska.
Boy, you know, I wish I had a radio station in Louisiana or in Alaska.
That's not where the...
Just a side tangent, that's all.
No, well, never forget that when we had fun in South Dakota, we used our malls prominently.
Imagine that. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, Black Friday is a significant retailing day, certainly a significant holiday. I guess it's almost a tradition now unto itself, which is kind of
weird.
Bizarre, but... hey, so is Grandparents' Day and Mother's Day and all these other card days that are out there. What do you see from the retailers that you know, either at the local storefront level or the big boy level? What are they talking about for this coming weekend, for this coming holiday season?
Well, I will tomorrow is my day to call all the mall managers. We own 9 regional malls, so I'll be calling them all. Every one of our stores except one is up 2 to 3% for the whole center. Now, the individual retailers...
And to the casual listener, 2 to 3% may not sound like a big
bump. It's a monstrous increase. That's really good. And you're right. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it translates into real money. JCPenney is having problems still. Their sales store over store are down. Their stores feel more stuffed with inventory than they did last year at this time. So that feels good.
So a lot of price incentive?
Perhaps. Events? I don't know about that, but they at least are stocking their stores.
Yeah, because if the shelves are full...
You have something to sell.
Yeah.
Empty shelves translate poorly. We don't have any major Sears stores, but Sears overall is just a bankruptcy waiting to happen. And I don't have much...
Poor management? I mean, I think a lot of us still flash back to Sears Roebuck and getting the calendar.
The catalog.
And the warm feely and almost wanting them to succeed because they're part of American history.
Well, they were until Eddie Lambert bought them, and he hasn't been a very kind guy. He's stripped a lot of very valuable assets out of their company corporate structure.
Can it survive?
Unlikely in a form in which it finds itself.
So what would it be? Kind of like a Sam's Club model off of... Walmart or niches?
A bunch of empty boxes, and someone else will fill in a mall where there's not a Kohl's. You might divide it in two and put a Kohl's in and maybe a TJ's
shrink the footprint down.
Yeah, Hobby Lobby and do something else. I mean, some of those Sears stores are big stores, 130,000 feet, and great big empty boxes.
That can't be too exciting.
It is as empty and as awful a thing as you can ever see.
What makes some stores in the same brand successful? I go back to, I guess this is almost dating us, but the Pay and Pack store.
Yeah.
Which was in the old Safeway, which is where the movie theater with palm trees
is. Yeah, the theater is.
Yeah. I understand that was, even at the end, that thing was making... money, and yet the chain fell down. Same thing with Gottschalk's. This is what I heard, that the store here was doing well. The chain, however, wasn't.
Yeah.
And suffered the consequences.
What makes a good store versus...
And particularly in our area where you keep hearing that we're the dumping grounds. We're the low end of the feeding spectrum.
Oh, I got to think we are.
Which would make... But yet they're making margin in our communities... And they're not in other communities, and it's enough to shut the doors for everybody.
Yeah, demographics, weather, and interestingly, never underestimate how important the store manager is to the success of a store in a location. Really, they make all the difference in the world. So there's a lot of reasons, demographic of the buying population, maybe they make 10,000 less than this other market. And so there's 1,000 different reasons, and I'm always impressed what these retailers know.
Will you, as a mall manager, do things to try to help support an individual store or an individual manager if your manager there on site sees something and just doesn't seem right? We try to work with them and help them understand?
We view it as a partnership, Brian. And if you don't talk to your partner and give them your ideas, it's a problem. So we do help them all the way along.
Is that unique?
People say we're a lot more user-friendly than other mall owners, operators. But we view it as a partnership. And we tend to be in smaller markets where the relationship... whether you're the landlord, the tenant, doesn't matter, but it's friendly America.
What about in the big malls? Mall of America.
Mall of America.
Okay, I don't know if you get much bigger than that, but...
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Don't they have their own zip codes and kind of their own state flag in there?
I think they do. They're enormous. I've been in there.
How does that dynamic work?
Well, first of all, it's a multi-story mall, enclosed mall, which by definition makes it a difficult property to manage. It is very difficult to have more than one floor.
So just the magnitude of it really makes it a unique critter unto itself.
Yeah, and they have high end, they have low end, and it is so big to walk. And it's all substantially underground, so you feel like a mole kind of running around.
Oh, yeah, I've always envisioned you as a mole.
I am. Okay, how did you know?
Yeah, that's the dirt. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, so we've got this Black Friday phenomenon that's going on, and then there's a Cyber Monday, which to me is really the most curious thing of this experience, because if you're shopping on the internet on a Monday, your productivity at work, I would say, would suffer somewhat.
Should.
I would think, unless everybody's doing during the breaks and before work and after work and during the lunch. But some of these guys are so sophisticated. Do you have any of your retailers that are really involved in that side of the equation also?
Not really. In fact, we make our malls entertainment sites as much as anything, so we don't want to encourage internet. I mean, we're just
kind of... So you don't have the coffee cafe hang out for 35-hour deal?
We do not. We do not.
So how do you make it family-friendly?
Well, we have pony rides. We have Halloweens. We have Santa. We have things along those lines.
The promotional stuff?
Promotionals. Up in Anchorage, we have the rodeo in... oh, gosh, and Spencer, I think we have a rodeo there, too. So it's just a fun thing that you try to cater to everybody and bring traffic.
Boy, I got a binder you'd really love to see. All the weird promotional ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to try them.
Yeah, has fun gone out of retail?
Depends on the market. If it's a market where Walmart has recently come in, it's not fun. If it's a market where Walmart has been in for a while and it's stabilized and the little local guys have managed to crawl back up, it can be fun.
But with big boxes, can it be fun around?
It can be, but you have to be specialized. You have to be good. I keep going back to the Irish shop, to the co-op. Those are stores that really do know their niche, focus on their niche, and create pretty good barriers to entry against competition.
Rifles instead of shotguns.
Exactly. Surgery.
Do business people understand that?
No. No. Too many businesses try to do too many things. In fact, we are just going through our competition today and what they're doing versus what we're doing, and I'm kind of, you know, I've got my marching orders, what the five of us decided to do today. So you've got to stay focused like a laser on what you do. And don't try to do too many things, because odds are you won't be good.
So how do you avoid the temptation? You know, the great American thing, right? Annex. Expand.
Well, yeah. Well, no. Yeah.
Absorb.
That magic word. Boom. Growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, it's hard to grow in this economy organically. So you may end up buying a standalone business that heretofore was standalone and clip it on.
So you absorb.
You absorb. But it's, if you want growth, it's hard to organically grow once you're starting to produce cash. It's
has it always been that way?
Well, I don't think people were as, until business, really the 80s changed a lot of businesses. They were run in a collegial way, even public companies. They didn't wring a lot of inefficiencies out of them, and the inefficiencies were thought to be pretty okay.
Part of the personality almost?
Yeah. And now a lot of us just don't, you know, the inefficiencies drive me out of my mind. I don't want any inefficiency, and all I'm trying to do is squeeze out everything that might be an inefficiency.
Personal action model that you have, or have you just, because of what's gone on the last 15 or 20 years, can't afford it?
We're in a good enough business where you could certainly afford it, but I'm not making enough money in our business that I feel like I can afford much extravagance. And so consequently, you know, we're building new banking relationships. We're doing a few things. And we're in a sector where the matrices of competition are obvious. I mean, they're publicly traded companies. So I can measure what they're doing versus what we're doing down to a fine tooth comb. And so what I do like to do is it's a great way to measure.
That is a certain competitive advantage you have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dorsal fin up. Time for the break. KINS, news and information time. It's 3:40. We'll be back with more from Rob Bark.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. So in general terms, Mr. Mall Man,
I'm not a mall guy. I'm really a servicing guy, but I happen to own some real estate.
Okay. You got a couple rings on your finger then.
Yeah.
What do you think about the holidays? Is this going to be legit? Is this a time for investing? The stock market's gone over 16,000. I've got my opinions that that may not be that good of a thing, but that's okay. Is this a time? Are we going to see some retail activity? Are we going to see some investment? Are we going to see businesses healthier at the end of December than what they are right now?
Depends on the business. Businesses that, like JCP, I think it's going to probably be a little bit healthier and will have let some blood. I think Sears, I just don't, I'm not optimistic. Hobby Lobby, I think they're bulletproof strong for the foreseeable future. Burlington Coat, same thing. Strong, strong, strong. TJ Maxx, strong, strong. If you're at the Ross, strong. If you're at the lower end of the spectrum, you're going to have a fine Christmas.
With a focus?
Yes. Well, no. Hobby Lobby doesn't have a focus.
Well, that's why I
yeah.
Fine. You want to do a soliloquy then?
No, but I think the guys who know their niche are really going to do well at the lower price point.
So how's somebody like a Pier 1? They've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, kind of like the old Globe Imports.
Yeah.
How do they do it without having that laser-like focus?
We've never, well, I think that's what they are. I mean, they are a little of this, a little of that. That is
and that is their focus?
That is their focus. But I've never gone through their numbers, nor have we had them as a tenant. So I really haven't gotten to give an analysis on what they're doing.
Do you do that for anybody who's a potential leaser of yours?
Oh, yeah, tenant. user.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to. You've got to mix your tenants well. Right now, the concept that we're doing that works well is we're doing Ross, TJ, and Hobby Lobby. That's a good...
Those three together have a synergy?
Yeah, they're great. It's just great.
Really?
Yeah. We have pretty good JCPs. We have one weak one. But, you know, it's the one thing about a mall, and no matter how you slice it, I think both Pearson's and Bayshore have done nice jobs with their malls. They've done the best with what the market could handle. And so,
have you been impressed with the reinvestment with the Bayshore Mall?
The boxing out? Yeah, they've done a good job. They really have, in my opinion. I'm not good at that stuff. But
the outside, does that count as much as the inside?
It all
counts. Or vice versa?
It all counts. It brings them in, and it's a pleasant place to walk. You can't just have one or the other, but you've got to get them in and not be afraid to walk across the parking lot to get in.
Oh, yeah, I just walk across the parking lot.
No.
There's a comment there, too.
No, not, you know, it's not a slurry code issue. Oh, okay. No, it's a question of crime. And
that's where I was.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm always afraid of crime in malls, and I think we all have to be.
Does that change the balance? Is security something that is heightened then? You know, do you double the staffing, triple the staffing, whatever it is, have cameras all over the place?
Yes.
Is that true across the board in all communities? Is that a concern?
I think malls, from a crime standpoint, are having to focus more on it than historically was necessary.
What is the function of a food court?
Draw people in.
It's an attraction into the facility or to service those who are inside?
Into the facility. Our food courts bring people in, bring shoppers in, and they are critical to a good to a mall.
So what's the number one foodie in a mall?
Well, depends on the market. In the South, we have a couple of Mississippi malls. There, the fried chickens are important, and so is, who's Dennis the Menace, Brazier Food? Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen, yeah.
Dairy Queen does well there. We have a McDonald's pad on another mall that brings people in. So all these different things make really do attract your objective. Like I said, it's a place of entertainment. It's a place of activity. Your objective is to create positive activity.
Can you have foo-foo food in a mall and survive?
Probably not. It may work in some markets, but up in Anchorage, we have an outbuilding that is a... The guy's done a nice job putting in a ribs place, and it looks like it's going to be really good. But overall, in the enclosed mall, it doesn't seem to work as well.
Elk and Bear?
Yes, and don't overlook the all-time crowd pleaser, Caribou.
Yeah, that's right. I was going with regional delicacies, yeah. I was, or at least attempting to.
Yeah.
Geez. Well, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy. Yeah. And travel safely.
Thank you very much. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Rob Barkley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.